الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم عن أنس رضي الله تعالى أن رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لولا أن لا تدافنوا لدعوت الله أن يسمعكم عذاب القبر رواه مسلم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم دوشي طلع Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. It is the sheer mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that everything what you see in this world is divided into two categories. One is zahir. Zahir means something that is visible, something that is external, apparent, something that you can see the face of. And opposite to that is batin. Ek zahir hai, ek batin hai. Batin means something that is not apparent, something that is not visible but invisible, something that you cannot see clearly. And everything in this world falls in these two categories. It is either zahir, anything, or it is batin. A lot of the things in this world one can see, visualize. And a lot of things in this world one cannot see. In the Arabic language, stomach is named as batanun. Batanun, from the word batin. Batan means stomach, pet. But the word batanun means something that conceals. The stomach is the most important part. It holds everything. And the front part of the stomach is concealing everything, hiding everything. That is why it is known as batanun. So you have something which is zahir and you have something which is batin. To give a decision regarding something that is zahir, that is quite simple and easy. If you go to the doctor and if he sees the color of your skin slightly yellowish or greenish, he'll say you've got jaundice. Or anything else, it becomes easy for the doctor to diagnose you properly. But if it is something that is inside, it's a difficult task. Several tests, examinations, and then finally the result is there. That is also not a guarantee. So naturally, anything that is invisible to the human eye, then that opens the door of different theories, different ideas, individual opinions. And generally in the world that we live in, all the theories and the opinions given to us is all wrong and corrupted. Wrong and corrupted. Take for an example evolution. It didn't come into the mind of, what's his name, Charles Darwin. He rejected the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he presented logic in front of the scriptures and revelation. So he came up with this idea. And another typical example that comes to the mind and also is related to the hadith which I read to you is, for an example, life in the grave. Many books have been written, documentaries, different ideas, talk to different people, do you believe in life after death? and different ideas, different answers. Some even have this idea that they want to reject everything. They don't even believe in life in the grave, no punishment, or if you've done something good, nothing good will happen to you in the grave. And they just look at the human body, that when the body is laid down, after a few months, the body decays off, decomposes, and that's it. That is the end of the story. Now we are talking about the invisible world, something that is connected to the unseen world. And alhamdulillah, if you are a Muslim, then let alone any other culture or religion to even compare the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Muslimin, the Mu'mineen. Subhanallah, everything what they have in front is mere speculation, guesswork. Compared to the solid evidence that is given to the Mu'mineen, to the believers, because it comes directly from the greatest source, and the greatest source is none other than Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. And the beauty is that we have Quran and we have Hadith. And if you look at the style and the pattern of the two, yet very similar and yet also very different. The words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are separated from the Quran. The Quran is there and the Hadith is there. The style of the Quran is different and the style of Hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is different, but yet both are connected. The tafsir is in the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as Muslims, we don't have any difficulty in understanding of all the phases that one individual goes through once he expires. When he dies, what happens? We see some people, subhanallah, in some faiths and religion, even if you are to die, it would cost the family thousands of pounds just to deposit that body back down there. Thousands of pounds. Thousands of three-piece suit and whatnot, and all the functions and the ceremony that takes place. But Islam, so simple. Even the nikah today, if you were here in Jummah, two nikahs, two minutes. No formalities, no nothing. Wakil gawa, ji, aapne kabul kiya, mashallah. Barakallahu feekuma wa jama'a baynakuma bil khair. Simplicity that you see and witness in Islam. When someone passes away, no formality. By giving ghusl, any white piece of cloth, even if it's chadar or anything, mashallah, three garments, wrap the mayat round in that proper sequence, tartib. And mashallah, be quick. For Jannat is waiting for that Muslim, for that Mu'min. Put him there. Simplicity. But yet, subhanallah al-azim, everything in the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is active and is alive. Is active and is alive. That is the beauty of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tarteeb. So, Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has laid down for us, the believers, a foundation. Beautiful hadith. He says that إِنَّمَا الْقَبْرُ رَوْضَةٌ مِّنْ رِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ أَوْ حُفْرَةٌ مِّنْ حُفَرِ النَّارِ. Two beautiful sentences. Subhanallah, for us to discard away all the other books and all whatever the professors have said, all goes down, throw it in the dustbin. Nothing. Beautiful. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam has said that Al-Qabr, that little small space, that hole that you see there, that space is either a portion of Jannat, without a doubt, or حُفْرَةٌ مِّنْ حُفَرِ النَّارِ, or it is a pit of hell. Dono mein se ek zarur hai, no doubt about it. And we don't doubt the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only that individual will doubt who has this element of hypocrisy inside him, or the level of Iman is very, very weak, unfortunately. When you get to hear some cases, being Muslims, some people are depressed, and they want to go for to acquire some form of spiritual healing to some of not Muslim scholars or Babas or what you say, to even Sikh gurus and other people, Allahu Akbar. And when you stop them, they say, oh, we are just going there for advice. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the beautiful life of all the companions. Everything is there. But we have to connect ourselves to the tarteeb of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sukoon is there. Believe me, you, after going round and round and round and round and round, eventually everyone gets there. To that one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Khalik and who is Malik. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, staunch worshippers, idol worshippers, staunch. They would have all the gods and the idols, all the gods and the idols. Abu Jahl had his own private idol. And sometimes he would slap the idol, that why don't you fight Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he speaks bad about you. But look at the insanity that he suffered from, but yet he would bow down. To me, kya hua hai, kya hua hai, kya hua hai? Allah. And that is what happens when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes naraz of an individual. Believe me, you, whatever credentials or qualifications he holds, he could be a sir, he could be knighted by the queen, but it's no use. Until Allahu Akbar, you don't have that rooftop of Islam. No use at all. And in the morning, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came up, Abu Jahl had his private idol there. And Abu Jahl is saying to Huzur alayhi salam, that this time, O Muhammad, ma'azallah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this my ilah, my ma'bud will show you who he is. And all of a sudden, this is where the shaitan comes in. You see, the shaitan goes inside that stone, the jinn. And there's this movement inside, and there was this movement. And Abu Jahl got very, very happy. So who can do muqabla of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And who can do muqabla? Who can compete with that individual who is following the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He is the naib of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are the khulafa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. We are khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the mouth of that idol, Abu Jahl is holding, and the idol is saying, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that that Zat that is standing in front of me is none other than Khatam al-Nabiyyin, Rahmatul lil-Alameen, Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the knowledge that he gives us is incredible. Every phase, every cycle, everything what happens in the qabr, subhanallah al-azim, even before the mayyat is laid down, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, it is mentioned, if I can find the hadith, that anyone who gives ghusl to the mayyat, and puts hunut, the special soap fragrance which they use upon the mayyat, and if you shroud the mayyat with kafan, and then you lift your Muslim brother on your shoulder, and then you place your Muslim brother down, and wasalla alayhi, and then you read salatul janaza behind him, with ikhlas, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all his sins like as if it is that day when his mother gave birth to him. Masoom bacha hota hai na. She was born on that day. Subhanallah. Just with sincerity of respecting that individual, that mu'min, that Muslim died. That is why when a Muslim passes away, we are only to utter something that is good for him. Something that is beneficial. We are to let him rest in peace. To let him rest in peace. Some people are so arrogant in this world they feel that they have the full control of the sacred soul, the life, the ruh, that like Namrud, I can kill that individual and assassinate that individual and I can give him life. Recently, was it 2 days ago, hearing in the radio, 9 o'clock in the morning, and in the radio they were saying that Ariel Sharon and the Israeli lobby would love to kill and assassinate Yasser Arafat, but obviously the Americans don't like that. So Yasser Arafat has to live. As if they have the full authority to give life to whoever they want and kill whoever they want. فَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Death only comes when the marzi, the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. Nothing can happen to an individual but except with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is there, threats. We will do that. For sure, we are living in a tangible world, a lot of things can happen. But as Muslims, our faith is stronger, our iman should be so strong that ultimately everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was lovely to see for the first time our Arab brothers united, and for the first time our Arab brothers embracing each other. Alhamdulillah, bole. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep this unity in our Arab brothers, and in fact in the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when we see each other, with a 360-degree smile. A full smile. It should be pure love, Allah Akbar. And unity, that is very, very important. Unity ke baghair mere azizo kaam nahi hoga, under one banner. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Coming back to the question of qabr, our sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us beautiful evidence. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an is the narrator, anna Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, لولا أن لا تدافنوا لدعوت الله أن يسمعكم عذاب القبر. رواه مسلم. If it, صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying, if it was not the fear which I have that you might refrain from burying your loved ones, اگر مجھے یہ خطرہ نہ ہوتا کہ تم کہیں تمہارے مردوں کو دفن کرنا چھوڑ دو, then what would I have done? لدعوت الله, I would have prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to hear the punishment of the grave. For you to hear the punishment of the grave. But I fear that if I make that dua, then you will stop burying your loved one. In another hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ لَيُعَذَّبُونَ فِي قُبُورِهِمْ حَتَّى إِنَّ الْبَحَائِمَ لَتَسْمَعُوا أَصْوَاتَهُمْ. Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, without a doubt, the deceased people, the dead people, according to their bad actions, are punished in their graves first, to the extent that the animals can hear of their punishment. And that is the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this makhluk, the other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, Uthman had a massive beard. What did he have? Massive beard. And if you look at the biography, the description of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, we cannot just say that Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam was handsome. There are no words to describe the beauty of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But certainly, reading some of the features of Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam, it is said that our sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a very big beard. Very big beard that would cover the front part of the chest. And Hazrat Uthman had a very big beard. Why? Because in the hadith it says that Kana Uthman radiallahu ta'ala iza waqafa ala qabrin yabki. Whenever Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala stood by any qabr, yabki, he would start to cry. He would start to cry so much, hatta yabulla lihyatahu, that the entire beard would be soaked with tears. So these are, subhanAllah, the sunnah. You get some people, city people who hardly have the knowledge of the Quran and Hadith, and they say, no, French cut style beard, be chale. And astaghfirullah al-azim, some of our Muslim parents, I have to confess, when the children come to madrasa, they have hair on top here, hair, and from the sides, everything is shaved. Everything is shaved. So when he is wearing a topi, you can't see nothing. It is like as if, mashallah, chokrobo dekche. He's really shaved everything off. But in reality, that is just a beautiful disguise. So he's wearing a topi, so the hair is there, concealed. And everything here is like a machine gumate. Until the ustaz flicks his topi out, and then mashallah, you have a patch of hair here, everywhere here, and everything here is shaved. And we caught one student today, and we said to him that, did you want to cut your hair like that? Is it your own wish? My father wanted my haircut to be like that. Well, if your father wants the haircut like that, what can the Molanas do? What can the Molanas do? Now, if we bring up a law that if you cut your hair like that, we will expel you from the madrasa, say, Moli Saab, logo no hum thekano. Why don't you mind your own business? What's hair got to do with parai? What's hair got to do with parai? But hair has got everything to do with parai. Tomorrow your children will want to pierce some parts of their body, which is happening today. Trends. Fathers are encouraging. Young women, 16, 17, wearing skirts so tight, and then they are wearing scarf. What for? Especially now when the sun is smiling at us. Short skirts with tight trousers, and virtually everything is exposed, and the scarf is so tight, also so tight. Allahu Akbar. If you are going to present yourself in an Islamic way, then present yourself properly in the Islamic way. Properly in the Islamic way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, because we are in the time of fitan. In the time of fitna, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal, and it is extremely difficult. These are not things that are small. These are extremely important issues, because the child, from being young, he is groomed in the wrong way. Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam would have zulfa, long hair, that would be fine, and then you would have amama. Or otherwise, when he went for hajj, he shaved his hair off, halaq, pura kiya. So we should follow Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. We should not follow the kuffar, because fashion and everything changes all the time. Everything that was 20 years ago, something that was considered to be old now, after 10 years it comes back, and then it goes back again, returns, and that is what dunya is. SubhanAllah, as Muslims, our ultimate goal should be what Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam has always reminded us, that one day you alone will rest in the Qabristan, all alone. Nobody will be there with you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes wants to show people of Azab-e-Qabr, and everything is exposed. Everything is exposed. There was Al-Makhzumi, was an Arab, Buzrug, Rahmatullah alayhi, and his duty was that if anyone who passed away, he would sort of make the kafan and the dafan and make ghusl. It was his duty, like we have even in Leicester, certain people who look after all the procedures when someone passes away. So, Al-Makhzubi, in the kitab, it comes, Man Aasha Ba'd al-Maut, it's an Arabic kitab, lovely kitab. And in there is an incident quoted that there was this mayyat brought in the chamber of Al-Makhzumi, and there's always kafan there also, given by the family members. But Al-Makhzumi saw the mayyat and he was frightened of that mayyat. There was something different about this mayyat. And the difference was that, for a start, there was no kafan for him there laid out, and the stomach was open, and he had two bricks on the top of his stomach, and the hands were folded on top of the bricks, like jaise hum ye Allahu Akbar band kar haath bandte hain. So both the hands were on the bricks. Now, Al-Makhzoomi got scared, what is this? He's never seen anything of the sort. He went out and he called some of the other shuyukh to see the condition of this person, of Mayyat. What has happened? Al-Makhzoomi decided that finally, let me just try to unfold the hand and remove the bricks. The minute he touched the hands and the two bricks, Allahu Akbar, he could not put the bricks down, and the bricks slightly opened up, and that mayyat started to scream. And the mayyat is saying, An-naru, an-naru, fire, fire is burning me, don't take the bricks out, fire is burning me. These are some of the events and the reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows an individual. And Al-Makhzoomi, being a Buzrug, he's saying to him, Qul la ilaha illallah, Qul la ilaha illallah, say la ilaha illallah, say la ilaha illallah. And that person is saying, Al-Kalimatu laysa binafi'in, that even by saying la ilaha illallah, there is no benefit. And he said that, why? Because in my entire life, it was my habit to swear at Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar Farooq. I would swear at Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar Farooq, and saying that, he collapsed and he died again. And he died. Now obviously, the resuscitation, the first scenario, maybe the heart just stopped beating, because death is the final death, the second time. And after that, he expired. But Al-Makhzoomi said that, I don't want to give him ghusl. I don't want to give him ghusl or shroud him with a kafan. Allahu Akbar. So anyone who would mock Khulafa'i Rashidin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes shows you everything. In Basra, there was an individual, a musafir traveling. In the night he stopped in this remote area and there was a qabr in front of him. In the night he could hear from the qabr donkey's voice, like as if a donkey is crying. Like as if a donkey is crying. Early in the morning, when dawn broke, he went to the local people and he said that, I could hear something from this qabr, what is it? And the local people, for them it was something very, very natural. And they said that this individual was a young man who died. It was his habit to say to his mother that, stop nagging and crying like a donkey. Stop nagging and stop crying like a donkey. So ever since day one, when he has passed away from there, every time in the night, the noise of that donkey is coming out from that individual, from that cupboard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq. One cannot doubt, even to the slightest, of what happens in the qabr, my respected brothers. Why? Because it is hijab. It is hijab. If you remove your spectacles, and if you have numbers, you can't see something clearly. Though I have my eyes and everything is there, but I can't see everything. But the minute I put on my spectacles, then now I can see everything clearly. Likewise, when the body is put down in the grave, we haven't got that eyesight, that power to see actually what is happening to that mayyat, to that deceased person. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the power. Our sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on a journey, mounted on a camel. All of a sudden the camel became hyper and restless. Our sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touched the camel, said to the companions, I feel that in the surroundings there is the cemetery of the kuffar. Cemetery of the kuffar. That is why in this country, alhamdulillah, it is rahmat that the Muslims have their own area and that we are buried amongst the Muslim community. But in a lot of the European countries, Allahu Akbar, Muslims don't have that freedom. And when they die, they are simply buried with all the other people, Christians or whoever. Even in Portugal, when I went, a lot of Muslims were just buried with the kuffar at that time. Allahu Akbar. So it is mustaqil ni'mat for an individual to rest also with a pious person. And Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam said to the companions who were very familiar of that area, and he said, Naam ya Rasulullah, close to this locality there is the Qabristan of the Mushrikeen. Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam is saying that sitting on this camel I can hear the punishment that is given to them. If you were to hear the punishment and the azab given to them in the grave, you would stop eating and you would stop drinking. You would stop eating and you would stop drinking. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we prepare ourselves. First of all, our aqeedah should be firm. Our aqeedah should be strong that whatever Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, it is nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. The eyesight can go wrong. The limbs can malfunction. Everything can go wrong. But the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are never wrong. Let us salute Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. At the time when only one was a mu'mina, and that was the wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bibi Khadijatul Kubra. And all the kuffar were mocking with us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in privacy said to him, Tashhad, bear witness, testify that there is no God but Allah, the one and only. And that I am the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without the slightest of hesitation, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Very first individual zat, sharing that position with Khadijatul Kubra. Some of the ulama say that the very first one to embrace Islam, some are of the opinion that it was Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra. And there's a possibility that riwayat is a very strong one, because after the revelation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first went to Bibi Khadijatul Kubra. But then again, being a wife, she had no choice but to accept what her husband told her. But Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was absolutely free, a tajir. He had the choice of doing whatever he will. But subhanallah, he chose to stay with Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So fitna is very, very strong. We have to make sure, educate our children, educate them what happens, what will happen. Inshallah, just to end the session, our sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that when the mayyat is buried, then he can even hear the footsteps. The very last individual that is turning away from his qabr, he can hear the footsteps. That is why sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you bury your Muslim brother, stand there for a bit and make dua for him, make istighfar for him, because now the time of questioning is there for him. But look at the information sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us. Every information is there. In the riwayat it comes that وَيَأْتِيهِ مَلَكَانِ فَيُجْلِسَانِهِ. Two angels come who are known as Munkar and Nakir. فَيُجْلِسَانِهِ. And they make him sit upright. They make him sit upright. Even Fir'aun, though he is in the museum, we are not to have any doubt that all people are there visiting him, or what azab-e-kabar is there. No, Allahu Akbar Kabira. Azab-e-kabr is there, kat'i taur par, it is in the Quran, An-naru yuhraduna alayha ghuduwa wa ashiyya. For the people of Pharaoh, the army, and Fir'aun himself, day and night azab is given to them. Day and night azab is given to them. Day and night. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking in the streets of Medina Munawwara, a few graves were there, and from the qabr, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard a noise, An-naru fi fawqi, An-naru fi tahti, An-naru an yamini, An-naru an shimali. Fire is on top of me, I am engulfed in fire. On my right hand side is fire, on my left hand side is fire. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came close and he told the companions, call all the people whose relatives are buried in this cemetery and that they are to stand in front of the qabr that is in relation to them. And all of the people came, the companions, and they were standing close to their relatives who had passed away in that area. And this old lady came right at the end with a stick, and the cover was at the end, and she stood there. Abu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to her and said to that old lady that, "Who is he to you?" And the old lady said that, "Ya Rasulullah, this is my son. The person who is resting in this grave is my son. He is my son. But I have no ties with him. I broke all my relations with him because he was disobedient to me." Abu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling her that he is being punished in the grave, and I can see that. And if you forgive him, Allah will forgive him. But she was again very hard. Some ladies can be very, very stubborn, you know, very strong in their nature. "No, unto maaf nahi karwani, unto maaf nahi karwani, I can't forgive him, under no circumstance." Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had no choice. He made dua and the hijab was lifted, the cover split open for that lady to visualize and see what is happening to the sun. And the sun was burning, Allahu Akbar, fire, cover ke andar, everything, every body part. And the sun was screaming. As the grave opened, the mother said, "Ya Rasulullah, I forgive my son 100 times. I forgive my son. Is this the azab?" Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam, "Yes, this is the azab." And by the barakah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the azab was removed. But alhamdulillah, if one fulfills the obligations and he adopts taqwa in this world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the merciful one. Allah will save him from azab al-qabr. Let me just finish off the hadith. The two angels come, فَيُجْ لِسَانِهِ, and they make him sit upright, فَيَقُولَانِ لَهُ, and both of Munkar and Nakir say to him, مَرْ رَبُّكَ, who is your Lord? And the mu'min and the believer will say, رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ, my Lord is the one and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيَقُولَانِ لَهُ وَمَا دِينُكَ, and the angels will say to them that, what is your religion? فَيَقُولُ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ, my religion is Islam. فَيَقُولَانِ مَا هَذَا الرَّجُلْ مَا هَذَا الرَّجُلِ الَّذِي بُعِثَ فِيكُمْ, who is this, what do you say of this great human being sent to you? Yani sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the scholars say that wherever he is buried, the earth splits open until Rawza-e Athar. The earth splits open until the Rawza of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is not difficult, is it? What is hard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nothing is hard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The earth splits open exactly towards Madinatul Munawwara. So wherever this individual is, he is questioned, what do you say to this great Zaat who is resting, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And if he is a believer, he will say, Huwa Rasulullah, he is our prophet. The Qadianis can go to Jahannam. But we the Muslims, alhamdulillah, we say, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatamun Nabiyyin. And some of the angels will say, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ, how do you know? This is what extra question. What is, now who this question will go to, I don't know. But this is what extra question. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ, how do you know? كَيْسَ pata? Some of the angels are Jalali. فَيَقُولُ, and even this mu'min is, mashallah, mu'min is a mu'min. And Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was putting in front of the companions the gravity of how ferocious that time will be when one expires and when he is buried. So Hazrat Umar Farooq says to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, I have only one question to you. Will I have the same aqal in my qabr which I have in this dunya?" The same brain. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Hazrat Umar Farooq and he said, "Now, you." He said, "Oh, no problem." Then there is no problem. This was the confidence these great people, Allahu Akbar, had in them. No problem. If the same aqal is there, there is no problem. We are the believers, we are the Muslims. Allah has laid Jannat for who? For the angels? They don't eat. Who is the Jannat for? For the Muslims. For Maulana Muhammad Musa Bhai, for all the people in Masjid-e-Umar, all the people here, all the Muslims everywhere in the world, in Leicester, the women folks, everywhere, every single individual. Inshallah, the Jannat is for us, and above all, we are the Ummat of Nabi-e Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ummat of Nabi-e Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, subhanallah, the greatest ni'mah. And he will say, قَرَأْتُ كِتَابَ اللَّهُ وَآمَنْتُ وَصَدَّقْتُ. And he will answer the question, I read the Kitab of Allah, and I have faith in it, and I confirm it to be true. And subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels at that time, فَيُنَادِي مُنَادٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءَ أَنَّ صَدَقَ عَبْدِي فَفْرُشُوهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. My servant spoke the truth, and the floor of Qabr is transformed to the floor of Jannat. The coffin on his body is transformed to the elite clothes of Jannat. And the door of Jannat opens up for him. The winds and the fragrance of Jannat blow into the Qabr, and the Qabr expands as far as the eye can see. Subhanallah. So Jannat for a believer starts from the very first station, which is Qabr. We have to work hard for it. Allah give us the tawfiq. And for that person who has turned his face away from Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sharia, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that when he says that I don't recognize Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Munkar and Nakir, take out this. The translation I could do here is a hammer made out of metal, steel. لَوْ ضَرَبَ بِهَا جَبَلًا لَصَارَ تُرَابًا. If that one hammer was to be striked on the biggest mountain on the surface of this earth, then that entire mountain would become powder in seconds. That mountain would become powder in seconds. That is the first strike when he rejects or he does not recognize the face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why, alhamdulillah, whatever the difficulties we face in this world, we have to be optimistic and have hope. And all the time, we are not to be mayus from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insha'Allah ta'ala, and if we follow the commandments of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sharia, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us in this world and even in the hereafter. And inshallah, the Qabr, the Alam-e-Barzakh, the time, the period of Qabr will become, subhanallah, like as if a transition, a place where we are staying temporary in that area, but Allah will open up the doors of Jannat for us. Inshallah, as the session goes, maybe next week we can talk on the subject of Isar-e-Sawab, what happens to the Mayyat, and continue until the last hour, the sign of Qiyamah, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal on what has been said. Because time changes next week, Sunday, inshallah, all the programs will be after Maghrib. All the programs will be after Maghrib. So if the brothers can make effort to come, inshallah, Allah will give you sawab. Really, it is no use for an imam to be sitting alone and talking to the jinnats. So we request to the brothers, I admit that I am not a great scholar, but at least I am your imam, and you know, whatever knowledge we have and whatever knowledge is in the kitabs and in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we quote out to you, myself and the imam, Maulana Dawood sahab. So brothers must take time out just to sit, inshallah. We won't take much of the time, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. But inshallah, you are not sitting for any other purpose. You are sitting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you sit for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is ibadat, that is neki, that is mujahada. In the time of fitna, to sit 25 minutes, 30 minutes, people can go home and switch on the television sets and sit in front of the television set for hours to sit and hear the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who knows, maybe because of that one sitting, Allah will accept your dua and Allah will remove any calamity that is with you, or in the future it could befall on any individual. So it is extremely important that we support our Muslim brothers in every way, be it in Muslim businesses, retail shops, wholesale, masjids, homes, everything. Wherever you see your Muslim brother, support him to the maximum. Inshallah, if we have that jazbah and that iman, without a doubt, Allah's mercy will descend on every individual. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك من رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من غضبك والنار ونعوذ بك من غضبك والنار ونعوذ بك من غضبك والنار اللهم اغفر لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات اللهم اغفر لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم يا الله يا رحمن يا الله ہم نے جو گناہ کیے ہیں یا اللہ ان گناہوں سے یا اللہ ہمیں توبہ کرنے کی توفیق دے یا اللہ توبہ کرنے کی توفیق دے یا اللہ دنیا کے اندر توفیق دے دے موت سے پہلے توفیق دے دے یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا اللہ یقیناً موت کی احادیث ہم نے سنی عذاب قبر کی احادیث ہم نے سنی یا اللہ ہم تو گنہگار ہیں اوپر سے نیچے گنہگار ہیں یا اللہ ہم تو آپ کے رحم و کرم کے محتاج ہیں یا اللہ محض اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہمیں معاف فرما دے یا اللہ موت جب آئے اس وقت بھی یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی رہو یا اللہ اور جب ہمیں قبر کے اندر داخل کیا جائے اس وقت بھی یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جائے یا اللہ اور منکر نکیر جب سوال کرے یا اللہ بفضلک العظیم یا اللہ محض آپ کے فضل و کرم سے ان سوالوں کے جواب ہم اطمینان سے دے سکے یا اللہ اور وہ قبر ہمارے لیے روضۃ من ریاض الجنہ بنے یا اللہ مرحومین میں سے ہمارے اساتذہ رشتہ داروں میں سے جن کا انتقال ہو گیا ہے یا اللہ ان کی قبروں کو منور فرما یا اللہ مسلمانوں کے اوپر یہ جو احوال آ رہے ہیں یا اللہ ان کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ یہ بیچارے ہمارے مسلمان بھائی فلسطین جہاں پر مسجد اقصا ہے یا اللہ یا رحمان یا رحیم یا اللہ یہ وہ مسجد ہے جس کی تعمیر آپ کے جلیل القدر پیغمبر داؤد علیہ السلام سلیمان علیہ السلام نے کی یا اللہ اس مسجد کا واسطہ جہاں سے آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے معراج کیا یا اللہ آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا واسطہ یا اللہ مومنوں کی فلسطین مسلمانوں کی اللہ تو حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ان کی تو حفاظت فرما یا اللہ کفاروں نے ان کو پریشان کیا ہے یا اللہ کفاروں نے ان کو پریشان کیا ہے یا اللہ آج کافر ہمیں گاجر مولی کی طرح ذبح کر رہا ہے یا اللہ مسلمان کا خون سستا ہو گیا ہے یا اللہ تو ہماری حفاظت فرما یا اللہ بولنے والا بھی کمزور ہے سننے والے بھی کمزور ہیں یا اللہ اسلامی ممالک کے جو لیڈر ہیں وہ بھی کمزور ہیں یا اللہ آج ہر مسلمان کمزور ہو گیا ہے یا اللہ تو ہمیں توفیق دے یا اللہ غیب سے ہماری مدد فرما یا اللہ کوئی ایسا مرد مجاہد پیدا کر یا اللہ ایسا مرد مجاہد پیدا کر یا اللہ جس سے واپس وہ جذبہ صحابہ کرام اجمعین کا زمانہ یا اللہ واپس وہ نور اسلام روح اسلام جاگ جائے یا اللہ مسلمانوں کے اندر اتفاق پیدا فرما یا اللہ عرب ممالک میں اتفاق پیدا فرما یا اللہ جہاں کہیں مسلمان ہو مشرق و مغرب میں یا اللہ ان میں الفت و محبت ڈال دے یا اللہ جن کی جو پریشانی ہو ان کی پریشانی کو تو دور فرما یا اللہ ان کی پریشانی کو تو دور فرما یا اللہ افغانستان کی مدد فرما پاکستان کی مدد فرما شیشان اور چچنیا کی مدد فرما یا اللہ جہاں کہیں پریشان ہو یورپ کے اندر مسلمان جو پریشان ہے یا اللہ ان کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہندوستان کے اندر مسلمان ہے یا اللہ ان کی پریشانی کو تو دور فرما مسلمان بھائی یا اللہ ہندوستان کے اندر جہاں ہزاروں کی تعداد میں اولیاء اللہ صلحاء آرام فرما ہے یا اللہ ان کی تو حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ان کی تو حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہم تجھے ماننے والے یا اللہ تیری عبادت کرنے والے تجھی سے مدد مانگنے والے ہیں یا اللہ ہم اللہ کو ماننے والے ہیں رحمان کو ماننے والے ہیں رحیم کو ماننے والے ہیں اور وہ غیر کو ماننے والے ہیں لیکن یا اللہ وہ ہمارے سر پر چڑھ چکے ہیں یا اللہ ہمارے اوپر حاوی ہے یا اللہ تو ہماری مدد فرما ہم کمزور ہو چکے ہیں یا اللہ ہم کمزور ہو چکے ہیں یا اللہ ہماری اولاد کی تو حفاظت فرما ہماری اولاد کی یا اللہ تو حفاظت فرما اسکول اور یونیورسٹی میں جا رہے یا اللہ ان کو زنا سے بچا یا اللہ ان کو زنا سے بچا ڈرگ سے بچا شراب سے بچا بری صحبت سے بچا یا اللہ ہماری اولاد ہماری آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک ہو ہماری اولاد ہماری آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک ہو یا اللہ مسلمان کے جو بزنس ہیں ان کو خوب ترقی دے لیسٹر کے اندر جو مسلمان کے جو بزنسز ہیں یا اللہ ان کو خوب ترقی دے، یا عرب ممالک میں جو بزنسز ہیں ان کو خوب ترقی دے، مسلمان ممالک کو یا اللہ خوب مال دے، یا اللہ خوب مال دے، ایسا مال دے اور ایسا جذبہ دے کہ جو حضرت عثمان کا جذبہ تھا، یا اللہ جو حضرت عثمان کا جذبہ تھا، جو صدیق اکبر کا جذبہ تھا. سبحان اللہ وبحمدہ سبحان اللہ العظیم، سبحان اللہ وبحمدہ سبحان اللہ العظیم، وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وازواجہ وذریاتہ واہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.